When Jane called me yesterday with just a tinge of anxiety in her voice, I told her that I would be available. When you have been a minister for more than 50 years, you have what is called a barrel. Most of those won't preach anymore. But I was reminded of something that happened back in the 1930s. Bishop William Scarlett was a Methodist bishop in Missouri, and Sherwood Eddy from Jacksonville, Illinois, a name familiar probably to some of the older members of the congregation. He was very important in the early Christian unity movements. Bishop Scarlett and Sherwood Eddy were on a preaching mission, and every night they would be in a different church. And every night, Bishop Scarlett would preach the same sermon, and Sherwood Eddy would preach a fresh new sermon. So after about the fifth night, Sherwood Eddy preached first, and he preached Bishop Scarlett's sermon. And afterwards, when they were on their way to the next assignment, Sherwood Eddy apologized, and he said, "But I can't figure out how you got up there unperturbed and preached a fresh sermon." Bishop Scarlett said, "I keep a very careful record of where I preach my sermons, and a year ago I preached the sermon I've been preaching in the church we were in tonight." So I went to my barrel, and the two sermons that came immediately to my attention were the two that I had preached here. And I had very carefully written where I had preached here. I found an unfinished sermon. I never preached, maybe a year or 2 years old. I'm not quite sure why, but there it was. It had no beginning and no ending. Now, I know it's a little anxiety-producing to say that I have a sermon that has no ending, but it does. The endings and the beginnings are the most difficult part sometimes of a sermon to prepare. So this is an unfinished sermon, but mostly lacking a beginning and an ending. Let's have a word of prayer. O Lord, make us master of ourselves, that we might be servants of others. Take our minds and think through them, our lips and speak through them, our hearts and set them on fire. Amen. The sermon today is for you. If you have friends, family members, co-workers, fellow students of another faith tradition, it is for you if you love nature and want to better integrate nature into your Christian faith. It is for you if you want to practice your Christian faith in a world that is increasingly religiously pluralistic. And unless we can find peace among the world's great religions, we will never have peace in the world. So I ask you to picture in your mind's eye three spheres. The first sphere is big, the size of the world. Inside that sphere is another sphere, maybe half the size. And inside that sphere, an even very small, tiny sphere, three spheres. You have heard the sermon text, Moses and the Burning Bush. I'm getting there. I want to begin with the largest sphere. St. Paul described it in the first chapter of Romans. What can be known about God since the beginning of creation has been known through the things that he has made. A good alternate text might be the spiritual. He's got the whole world in his hands. This sphere includes all the world's people of all faiths, including the humanistic faiths. It is the beauty of the earth. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims God's handiwork. It is William Blake, the well-known line, to see the world in a grain of sand, and to see heaven in a wildflower, hold infinity in the palm of your hand, and eternity in an hour. It is wherever men and women work for justice, whatever their religion, whatever their politics, whatever their nationality. It is children laughing and playing and learning. It is work well done. It is friendship, loyalty, kindness, peacemaking, and good works. God, as most of us know God, gets most of God's work done in this first large sphere. There's all kinds of invisible grace in this world. God does not leave God's self without witness. That's scripture. Think of everything I have mentioned in this first very large sphere as all of the experiences of thoughtful, caring, feeling people, whether they know it or not, living in the presence of God. Now, the second sphere inside of that first one, for people of the Christian faith, this is the gospel sphere. In this sphere is the teaching of Jesus, the sacraments. In this sphere is the experience of amazing grace, how sweet the sound. It is the ocean of God's love. It is forgiveness. It is the offer of new chances. It is Christian community, what we are about this morning. Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. In spite of our differences, in spite of our interpretations of the things that are happening in our world right now. It is all about reconciliation, brokenness healed, fears overcome, grudges put behind, wrongs righted, justice done, differences of all kind transcended. It is where men and women are continually learning and experiencing, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. And finding themselves in that marvelous phrase of C.S. Lewis, surprised by joy. Now the third sphere inside of the other two, just a guess, but maybe 1/1,000th the size of the moon, which is 1/4 the size of the earth. And enter here our text, Moses and the burning bush. In this sphere, the small one, the meetings with God are very rare, few, and far between. They don't happen to most people, even the most faithful, the most kind and saintly. Mother Teresa had only one or two of these very unique experiences. And then she had a lot of the dark night of the soul throughout her life. In this sphere is Peter, James, and John, seeing Jesus transfigured before them on a mountain, Mary mistaking the risen Christ for a gardener. William Blake again, he said he saw a tree full of angels in Pickham Rye in London. I collect accounts inside and outside of the Bible on a file on my computer of things like this. It's now over 75 pages. Most people of faith know and feel God in that first very large sphere, and in the second sphere, specifically for us in our Christian tradition. I think this is the way it is intended to be. Jacob's ladder, Jesus transfigured, trees full of angels, Mother Teresa's singular experiences, bushes burning and not consumed, and experiences like these in all of the great world's religions are for the very limited few. And don't feel bad if you haven't had such an experience. Very few have. And considering the trouble they can get you in, such moments can be very difficult. Think of Moses. He didn't want his calling that he got there at the burning bush. And he mourned it many times over 40 years of trying to lead a very troublesome people. One ought not to hanker for them, and certainly never boast about them. Now, where does this leave us? For most of us, there'll be no literal burning bush, probably more like a tiny spark, a light shining through a joyful thing or a problem solved, more a warmed heart, more experiencing forgiveness, having someone stand beside us and take our hand and walk with us through a deep darkness, getting some needed direction, getting a fresh start, making progress in overcoming a destructive habit, finding the strength to love. And yet there are many things we can take from the story of Moses and the burning bush. It's not just ancient history. Some people, the poet said, see burning bushes. The others just go on picking blackberries. These, what you might call ordinary meetings with God, happen when least expected and in the most ordinary ways. Moses was paying attention. In the last several years, paying attention has become a very important part as I think about our Christian faith. It's paying attention to the present moment, not thinking so much about the past or the future, but meeting God in very natural ways in the present moment. Moses took off his sandals, for the ground on which he stood was holy. Just think of the big difference that can make. When we think of the soil, the plants, the trees, the animals, the sky as holy ground, this is just part of the solution to the environmental crisis that we face. And this, Moses, if you remember, didn't think he was up to the job. That often is the case, facing an illness, facing some of the trials and tribulations of aging, facing grief, fear, worry. For he received a promise, I will be with you. And every spark of light upon our way, our little burning bushes, if you will, with every one of those, there comes a responsibility. For Moses, it was to lead his people. For us, very ordinary folk, it is to be faithful in the little things, small as beautiful. Serve, give a cup of water, stand up for the poor and others without a voice. Give out of our abundance. Help with disaster work. Share a smile with the clerk at the supermarket. I told you this was a sermon without an ending, but I'm there. And I thought of a line last night that was a good summary of all of this. It's a very familiar line in the Bible and one of my favorite ones. It's from the book of the prophet Micah. What does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? Amen.